This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, friends. It's your boy, Michael Cruz Kane here, back with another episode of A Good Cry. Thank you for listening. Thank you for messaging me. I swear I will get back to every single one of you. I'm going to do it. I swear it on my hat that I'm currently wearing. It's an important hat. The hat matters to me, so don't think that's a meaningless promise, okay? Grief thoughts this week and always. Take care of yourself mentally, please. We are just coming off 2+ years of COVID pandemic, which is, cross my fingers, knock on wood, over-ish, question mark. I hope it doesn't come back. And then we're going straight into what looks like it could be World War III. Give yourself a moment to not be terrified and sad if you can give yourself that moment. Retire to the bedroom for a second. Play a video game. Read a book. Just close your eyes and hum. Whatever you need to do. If you're the kind of person like me who likes to feel a little bit more active in the face of tragedy, a charity that I like is called World Central Kitchen, WCK.org. You can go there right now. They are serving thousands of fresh meals to Ukrainian families who are fleeing homes. If you find a different charity that you like, or if you have some other way of coping, great, go for that. For me, it makes me feel a little bit better to know that I'm doing whatever tiny, tiny thing I can to help the people who are right now in the absolute worst of it. Okay, this week we have my friend Brooks Allison, who is an amazing musician, tremendously talented. He's someone that I've collaborated with in the past, and he's also a very funny comedian. You may have seen him on Comedy Central or all over their Instagram. Brooks and I talk about his friend Chris Fisher, who OD'd, and how music was a thing that bound the two of them together and still continues to bind them together to this day. Does music make you think of someone that you've lost or of whatever your particular grief is? If so, what songs draw you back? We're going to hear a little bit from Brooks musically in this episode as well. We're going to play one of his songs. You can also catch him on tour with the band Sloth Rust pretty much right now. I hope you enjoy this episode. I love talking to Brooks. It was a privilege and a pleasure. This is A Good Cry. Brooks Allison, thank you for joining us here on A Good Cry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know what? Not a lot of people say that thank you right there. And I want to say you're welcome.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. And now that's enough. Now I have to say you're welcome again. I don't know how to proceed. Our question is, Brooks, how would you describe your relationship with grief?
It is a new one. It's blossoming every day. It's I thought about this a lot, to be honest with you, because I am a listener of the podcast. But I lost a friend in January of 2020, and I'll say that what really helped me connect with the grief, I guess you could say, is music.
Meaning that was your friend a musician?
My friend was a musician. The two of us were very good buddies growing up in high school and stuff. And after, we played music together. We were in a band or two together, and we just were into the same music and always showing each other new music and kind of connecting musically.
And what's your friend's name?
My friend's name is Chris Fisher, actually.
Chris Fisher?
Yes.
And how did Chris die?
Chris overdosed on a Friday night in January. And yeah.
Fuck. That's horrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And was it something where you were near Chris when it happened? How did you find out that Chris had died?
Yeah, so I wasn't near Chris at the time. So Chris and I were good friends in Virginia, where I grew up. And then I moved to New York around 2013. And actually, it was 2013 for sure. He stayed in Virginia, and he had some jobs and was taking classes and stuff. And then he moved into a house that his family owned. We would keep in touch here and there, but like, you know, when you move away, sometimes you can drift apart from people.
Sure.
I wouldn't say we necessarily drifted apart really, but, yeah, I wasn't close with him in the way that I was when I was living in Virginia at the time. But oddly enough, my birthday is Christmas Eve. So just a month earlier, I saw Chris. When I'm home, a lot of times I will avoid going out. I would much rather sit at the house with my parents, bored out of my mind, than go to a bar and see people.
Is that because you don't want to see people you grew up with? Are you like a reclusive, or you just like don't want to see people in Virginia specifically?
Everyone in Virginia. I think that if I let myself feel like if I give into this anxiety of, it's a social anxiety thing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
If I give into it, then I become reclusive, but I can very easily just say, fuck that, and go out and have a blast. But a lot of times when I'm home, I'm like, ugh, this bar, or, you know, I moved out of this place.
Yeah, I got you.
How dare I show my face at this bar? you know, selfish, really good thinking. So just a month before Chris passed away, I decided to go out. I was like, I went to this bar that, is like a staple in my hometown, in my small hometown of Salem, Virginia. And I texted Chris and I was like, hey, I'm just going to go to this bar. Like, do you want to come? And he came. And then he and I sat outside. There was like an outdoor bar. We just like sat outside and chatted. And we were like, it had been a while since we like talked tunes and stuff. And we were just like talking about how like shitty the guys of Led Zeppelin are. And we're like, it was cool to like connect, like have grown up and separate, but been like, hey, those guys are kind of shitty, right? They like date younger, like too young of women, right? And we're like, yeah. We're just like chatting, and he was going through a rough time because of a breakup. And, you know, we just had a couple drinks, and then he gave me a ride home. And he was like, he was struggling, right? And while he gave me a ride home, and we're in the driveway, just like listening to music, talking or whatever. And I'm just like, well, hang in there, man, you know? And he said, I'll be all right. He had this very like chill, exterior, very like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like, he said, I'll be all right. And then that was it. That was like the last I saw him. That's the last thing he said to me. And then, so fast forward to, you know, a month later. So I'm walking around Soho with a friend at a record store and looking through records and laughing at movie posters and like shit that you do in a record store. I have a missed call. I look at my phone. There's a missed call from a 540 number, which is my area code. And I was like, oh, I want, you know, I'm in the basement of a record store. Like, it didn't go through. And then I get a text from a friend who I haven't spoken with in years, who says, hey, did Ian call you? And Ian was a friend of this guy that just texted me and of Chris. And we were all kind of like a crew. And I was like, fuck, man, I think it's Chris, you know?
You had the bad news vibes.
I had the bad news vibes. And I was just like, you know, I had just seen Chris and he was struggling. And like, but I was just like, no, I think that's what it is, right? And then, so then I go over to like the t-shirt rack with all these like, there's like an Outkast t-shirt and like a fucking Sublime t-shirt or something. And I call my friend Ian, and Ian's like, hey man, I wish I was calling under better with better news or no, under better circumstances, but Chris Fisher overdosed and died. Or he said Chris Fisher died, right? And I was just like, what? You know, I was like, how? And that's such a, I feel like that's such a thing that everybody asks is like the how, you know, like you hear someone dies, you're like, how? And then they can like, then you can search and see how, and then you can like rest easy knowing like how it happened. But it's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, that's arguable, I suppose, but.
For you, finding out how, does it change the way you feel about him dying? Like if he had been hit by a car or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have felt however it is you feel?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Because, yeah, so I suppose in that regard, it's like helpful to know how he went. And I was just like, okay. You know, on the phone, I'm like, fuck. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later, you know? And then, you know, I go over to my friend who I'm at this record store with, and I'm just like, my fucking friend is dead. You know, my friend died. I just got a phone call that like my friend had died. And I was just like, it was weird. I mean, I didn't process it all at once. Right. It was like, I hadn't really lost anybody like that before. And I've never really known what it's like or like how to deal with it or like what's like the appropriate or normal way to respond to that and like how quickly, because like I didn't cry about it for until 3 or 4 days after, because it was just like I said, like he and I didn't live in the same place anymore and we had kind of separated a bit, so like it's weird to say, but like it was a kind of the same for a second, right? You're just like, well, we didn't talk every day anyway, so like it hasn't really hit me, right?
Yeah, sure.
Which feels shitty to say, but like I think that like Chris would get that and like laugh at that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that weird to feel that way, because on a practical level, you're not seeing him. You hadn't been seeing him every day.
Yeah.
So now you continue to not see him every day, but as the grief, like as the thought of him being dead starts like making its way through your mind,
uh-huh.
for the part of your brain that loves him to finally get hit with that and go, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like my friend is dead. It makes, what do you remember when you cried, do you remember what circumstance that was?
Hell yeah, I do. So I was working at a restaurant at the time, and it was a morning shift where we were setting up the restaurant, right? I worked at like a big restaurant, Eataly NYC.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big restaurant. And so that's to say that when you're opening with the opening team, you could kind of be in your own section and not really see anyone while you're doing your opening stuff. Like other coworkers are probably on the other side of the room, whatever. So I'm by myself setting up this area of the restaurant. And I'm listening. By this point, I was like, I wanted to connect with it, right? So I was like, oh, I'll listen to some music that like will remind me of Chris. And I put on Radiohead, Kid A, and because he loved Radiohead. He was like super into Radiohead. And there was a song that came on called How to Disappear Completely. And I don't know if you're familiar with the song.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, I don't really feel like doing the podcast anymore. No, I'm just kidding. So it's this song that, oddly enough, okay, I'm hopping around, but like years prior, I believe it was after high school, Chris showed me this song in his car outside of my dad's house, the same place he dropped me off. After like the last time I saw him, right? And he showed me that song, and it's like anyone that knows that song, listeners or whatever, will know it's like a fucking beautiful song, like the saddest, most beautiful Radiohead song ever, maybe. He showed it to me, and like lyrically, he says it's like a very slow open acoustic like droney thing, you know, part for the course of the Radiohead, but it's slow and it's pretty and sad. And lyrically, he says, that there, that's not me. And I I realized later that he was talking about that was like his way to escape from being on stage in front of like millions of people. He can kind of go out of his body and look at himself and be like, that there, that's not me. And so fast forward all the way, that song comes on and it starts with this acoustic guitar and you don't really know rhythmically where it's going. And then it comes in and it's this slow, like beautiful song. And it's just like, Michael, when I tell you, it just was like, oh, Chris is fucking dead, you know?
Yeah.
And I laugh because like, you know, it's been a while now, but I've made peace with it and everything. But like, yeah, it was just like, holy fuck. And I just started like bawling. It was just like mega release, right? And then my coworkers saw me and a couple coworkers came over and gave me a hug. And I was kind of telling them where I was coming from. And I was just, you know, fucking Tom York is fucking saying this. And like, it's kind of like, you know, and it was really, and they were crying too. I mean, it was like, it was nuts. But yeah, that was the moment when I was just like, oh shit. Yeah. I can really connect with the grief and like work through it with music. And then I started putting a playlist together that was like fucking Radiohead, Arcade Fire, more Radiohead. We just like, we liked a bunch of that shit. Right. And then, yeah, so that was really helpful. That's why I say like musically, that's why I say music is a big part of my relationship with grief.
Just to ask you about that day, did you continue working? Like after you have that like huge, you know, emotional catharsis, or do you then have to be like, okay, so we have a Soprasada special today or whatever it is?
Yes, absolutely. I did. I freaking kept going. Slinging Aperol spritzes all day while I'm just singing Radiohead in my head.
I think about like that part of grief, like especially the moment that you come to it. You know what I mean? Like you had heard the news, but it hadn't hit you until a few days later. That moment when it hits you, mm-hmm. and how different you are from the rest of the world in that moment is something I think about. You know, I talk about on this podcast all the time, and I think about all the time.
Yeah,
of like you're sitting here processing your friend's, you know, untimely, completely unexpected death. Mm-hmm. And all around you, people are like, this isn't the mozzarella I wanted. I wanted this other one or whatever. And you have to like, just keep going.
You're going to eat that fucking mozzarella because my friend OD'd. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be an intense moment at Italy.
intense moment at Italy, indeed.
You and Chris, you were in bands together, you said?
Yeah, we had, we would just kind of record music together for a little bit, like all this kind of instrumental weird stuff. And I still have it. It's this weird thing where like, yeah, I kind of reconnected with Chris and like listened back. I like got my old laptop out that's like weighs like 50 pounds and like plugged it in. It's crazy. Old laptops are like fucking 50 pounds. It's crazy.
Yeah. When those things came out, you were like, this is the sleekest, tiniest laptop that's ever been made.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh, it's a Hummer.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, I it was cool to like, you know, it was also cathartic and sad, but like, it was like, oh man, I got to find these old songs. And I like, none of them have real names. Anyone that like makes music and like makes a little snippets here and there names them the dumbest shit. So I'm like, let's listen to Slips by me and Chris. Let's listen to like, seriously, it was called Slips, S-L-I-P-P-S. And that's a beautiful song.
Two P's.
Two P's.
Is it all ambient? Is it like, are there lyrics?
No lyrics.
Oh, I love it. I wish I could hear. I want
no lyrics.
Maybe we could, if you felt comfortable with it, Brooks, maybe we could play some of that music on this episode. If that was cool, put it at the end of the episode. If it's not cool, we won't do it.
It's super cool.
Yeah, you're an incredible musician.
Thank you, man. And so I wrote a song about Chris. I have a song called I'll Be All Right, which, as I just said, was the last thing he said. And the song starts with a clip from one of our instrumental things we made. Sounds absolutely nothing like the rest of the song, but yeah.
I love that so much. That's beautiful. I also wanted to talk about I'll Be All Right. That was the last thing that Chris said to you. When you look back on that sentence, like to me, that strikes me, like if you're saying that he was, in a tough spot already then, right? Like he was really in a down spot.
He was, yeah.
That strikes me as like kind of stereotypically male way of communicating through grief, which is not to say that women don't do the same thing, but it seems like something that is like common among men to be like completely falling apart.
Yeah.
But don't worry about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want like, you know, I don't want anybody to be worried about me. So look, man, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
In your friendship with him, was like the fullness of how much he was struggling or how much you might have been struggling at any time or whatever, was that something the two of you shared?
I, looking back, I wish that, I will say I wish that we shared it more, but that's probably, I don't think that's fair to spiral about, because there were some really special moments that the two of us had. I remember he was going through a tough time with his parents at one point, and he didn't know, like he was living with them and he was just like, it was not in a good place being still living at home. And he called me once just being like, he was just like, didn't know what to do. And I think that he just came over and we like, you know, hung out or we got food or something like that. I came out to him. He was like one of the people I really felt comfortable coming out to when I came home. One of those times when I was like, screw it, I'll go out. And we were like in an alley smoking a cigarette. And I was just like, hey, I'm gay. He was like, yeah, I thought maybe you would be. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, that's really cool.
I mean, that's so great to have a friend that you could like,
yeah,
like that he could tell you the fucked up shit going on in his life. And you can tell, you can come out to him, like to have a person that is your person. I mean, to have your person for that is incredible.
Yeah.
And it makes all the more sense that when the weight of it hits you, that you're like, you know, falling apart in an Italy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And after I came out to my parents, I came out to my dad. It was like a rough time. And my dad and I had a talk and we were just like kind of, it was just like a strange vibes for a sec. And I was just like, I think I'm going to go. I'm just going to leave for a little bit. And he was just like, well, where are you going to go? And I said, I think I'll just like meet up with Chris or something. And I didn't end up meeting up with Chris because my dad started like really crying and then we hugged and stuff. So that's another story. But but that's to say that like, I always knew that I had Chris when shit was kind of hitting the fan, whatever that meant.
Yeah. I mean, I have no childhood friends like that. I have no friends
yeah.
that I've hung on to, which also, I mean, I'm creating my own theme here. Also seems like very male to have like no friends from when I was a kid, like at all.
Yeah. I think that speaks to me not wanting to go out normally and me be like, no, I'm going to stay home. I don't want to fucking connect with someone as a 32-year-old man at this bar in Salem, Virginia. But why the fuck not? You know, you never know if you'll go and be like, holy shit, like, I haven't seen this person forever. And then then you hear a month later that they've died. So just freaking go out.
Go out.
Go out, baby.
So you said you processed a lot of this grief through music, right? Or like your connection with Chris, maybe it moderated through music in some way. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So going back to like making a Spotify playlist, or just a playlist. So I rented a car. So I heard that they were doing a viewing, not a viewing, but like a, not a legitimate funeral, but essentially a viewing. So at Chris's parents' house in Salem, I was in New York at the time and I was like, okay, I'm going to rent a car, drive down. And on the drive down, I think I stopped in Baltimore, which is where I am now. And I had this playlist with these songs and I started to connect like, lyrically all the songs that we really liked to Chris and like losing Chris. And it was really like, it was really sad. I mean, I was like, there were moments when I was driving in the car on the way down that I was like scream crying, singing along to fucking Arcade Fire. But I'm just like, at the same time, I'm just like, man, this is fucking awesome.
I mean, that's something that seems so true to me. The feeling of like, I'm just like bawling, crying. And at the same time being like, this is great.
Yes. Yeah. So like there are lyrics like from some lyrics in like the whole album by Arcade Fire called The Suburbs is about being stuck in your hometown essentially and trying to escape. And like, you're seriously, they're saying like, there's like the famous Arcade Fire song is like, children don't grow up, our bodies get bigger, but our hearts get torn up. And then eventually it's like, I guess we'll just have to adjust. And it's just like, I don't know. It sounds cheesy to say them off like that, but like that just helped me so much. Was like, that's what fucking happened to, I mean, happened to me in a way, happened to all my friends in a way. That fucking happened to Chris, you know? And, you know, it's heartbreaking, but it's also like beautiful. And like I said, and you said, it's pretty awesome.
There's also, I mean, I don't want to say anything that's not correct, but there's like so much music in the world.
So much.
But does music in general make you think of, is it only like, okay, if I'm listening to Arcade Fire and that Radiohead album, that gets me thinking of Chris? Or is it like somebody starts whistling and I'm like, oh, you know what this makes me think of is that time with Chris?
I don't know if it's just like the existence of music, but there, I will agree that there is a lot of music and there's a lot of, and as you get older, I feel like you want less music.
Sure.
As I'm getting into my, you know, you're just like, I already know the songs and the bands that I like. Like, why the fuck do I need to learn more? But I will say a lot of the music that I do like, and I did like, and growing up, like Chris did also. And then in the music that we would share and get into, even in that time where I was living in New York and he was living in Virginia, we still would connect and show each other new stuff. And then that became like, I listened to the same songs that he had showed me like for months, you know? So I would say, yeah, not so much just hearing music will be like, ah, Chris, but like a lot of music reminds me of Chris. Like, it was pretty wild. There's this artist that he showed me, who I listened to. He showed me in like 2013, 2014 that I really liked. And I was like, this is cool. That person follows me, not to flex, but follows me on Instagram now. And like, we became buddies and he moved to Brooklyn and he hit me up and was like, hey, would you want to like meet up and like you show me around Brooklyn? And I was like, heck yeah. So we did. And we met the day that Chris fucking died. It was so bizarre.
Wow.
This past January. And it was like this musician that Chris like hipped me to. And now I'm fucking hanging out with him on like the night that, you know, it was just like that kind of stuff. Like I never really, I don't know. I just think it's fucking cool. If it means something, great. But connections like that are very cool when it comes to like dealing with like losing Chris.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like stuff like that, I mean, everyone I'm sure has a different point of view on that, but I think things that are like coincidental or serendipitous or whatever, you can make your own meaning out of them if you want to.
If you want to.
There can definitely be meaning in that. Does that person know about Chris?
I told him that night and we like cheers to Chris.
That's incredible.
It was fucking sick. I remember knowing the song that Chris showed me of this guy. And then being like, oh, this is him. And then started following him. And then fast forward all those years, he follows me on Instagram. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I reach out to him like, hey, I'm a big, thanks for following me on Instagram, you know? And now we're like friends. Very cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, like, it's very easy to see that as a message from Chris. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not trying to put that on you, but I mean like those kinds of things.
Right.
If you believe in the possibility of that, that seems like a very big sign of it.
Yeah. You know how they say like cardinals are a sign of like someone passing?
Sure. Yeah.
And like them visiting you and shit.
Mm-hmm.
His house in Salem, Virginia was right next to West Salem, which is elementary school, which is where I went to elementary school. And their fucking mascot is the cardinal. And I'm just like, that's fucking nuts. And then I see a cardinal outside my window and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think Mike, my instinct with all that stuff is to be like, no way, doesn't mean anything. But then it's hard once something tragic has happened to you, your like brain cracks open to be like, well, there are more. The world is not what you thought it was.
Exactly.
People die. So just like get that through there. Now think of if that's possible, what else is possible?
Totally. What else is possible?
When my son died, I remember I was so torn up that like anything would remind me of him. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about how music would remind you of Chris and songs you would listen to. For me, it was like literally like you hear like Macarena playing on the radio and you're like, oh yeah, you know what? Her boyfriend Vittorino. So Vittorino was a boy. My son was a boy. This song is about my son. And you're like, it took me so long to get out of, oh, literally everything is one of these.
Totally. Totally. The one thing that was trippy was his brother's name is Chad. So I would get texts from Chad afterwards and then think it was Chris and this because CH.
Right.
So that was hard. That's hard. That's weird. Just being like, that's not a text from thinking that he's texting you or whatever. And like, oh, but that it can't be him. You know, that was weird.
Yeah. I mean that thing, I mean, the sensation of him still being there after he dies is very relatable. I mean, not specifically the texting to me, but like that like confusion of, oh, wait, maybe. No, of course not.
Yeah. Because it's the split second thing where you're, you know, caught off guard. Yeah, it was wild. I think, you know, the thing is, Chris is, we always connected on music and also humor and stuff. And I truly think that like, Chris would appreciate like some humor I can find, if any, in all of this. So that's why I'm, you know, so quick to laugh about little things here and there. But yeah, I miss that dude, but I'm in a good place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How is your perception, the way you felt at that moment when you found out in Soho, mm-hmm. to just a few days later in Italy, to now 2 years later, mm-hmm. how has how have your feelings about Chris's death and your feelings for him after his death changed?
That's a good question.
It's okay if the answer is they have not changed. It's fine.
Yeah, right. I definitely am not as quick to like freaking bawl, you know, when I hear an Arcade Fire song. But like every now and then I'll connect with that, which is sweet. Like so I have like a shrine for Chris in my room back in Brooklyn.
What does that mean? What's in the shrine?
His hair. No, I'm just kidding. It is it. it is a couple of things, man. There's like layers of this that I hope I can get into, but it's just, so it has some things that I inherited from Chris's brothers, and I got pretty close after it happened. And I went over to while I was in town after this viewing, which was a frickin' doozy. I hope I can tell you about that. But I went over to Chris's house that I had never been to before. And I inherited a bunch of items of Chris's that his brothers gave to me out of like, Chris would want you to have this kind of thing. I got like his guitar. I got one of his fucking guitars. I got an amp. I got like a bunch of guitar pedals. I got this like, dude, I hit the fucking jackpot. Just kidding. And just random little things like his guitar picks. I got a hat. They gave me two hats. I gave one to my sister. They gave me an old picture that they had found. They burned a lot of songs that Chris had made on three discs, three CDs, and gave them to me. This weird like shaker maraca thing that Chris had is up in the shrine as well. And then like a week or so later, I got a card from his parents that was like a thank you card for our friendship. And that, you know, and then I fucking bawled when reading that. So that's all in the shrine.
That's awesome. If I walked into your apartment in Brooklyn, how deep do I have to go to get to the shrine? Like, where is the shrine in the apartment?
You have to take one big step into my room and look right to your left, and there it is.
Okay, so it's there.
It's there. It's not very big. So the guitar is hanging on the wall. The amp I have stowed away. All his pedals and stuff I have stowed away. But like the little things, like his picks, the hat, that maraca thing, the pictures are just up on a shelf in my closet, essentially. And I have like an open closet, and it's just kind of up there. And every now and then when I'm like playing guitar and singing, sometimes I'll look at him, look at the shrine and like sing and play, which is very cool.
And is it the kind of thing where if someone walked into your room, would they immediately be like, what's that?
It blends. Because I have a lot of stuff around my room anyway, a bunch of like guitar pedals and shit. So it just kind of looks like another area with stuff. If you looked closely, you could be like, what's that? But yeah, it's not like big block letters and balloons being like, RIP, you know?
Yeah, I'm asking because we have, in our home, we have a piece of art. You know Mael Dolivo, right? Do you know who that is? Mael Dolivo? She was around UCB. It doesn't.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Oh, no, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Well, anyway, she.
I thought you said Mael Dolivo, which I thought was like my wife. I thought it was something. Never mind.
You thought I was speaking in a different language and saying my wife?
And El Dolivo means wife in this language.
I like that you were like, no, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, of course I know. Mael Dolivo is an artist who also had like this like beautiful thing for Carrie's birthday, for my wife's birthday. Mm. Mael Dolivo.
You can delete that, please.
Nope, that's the only part of this we're releasing. She made this like really beautiful work of art for us that is like commemorative of Fisher.
Jeez.
And it used to be in the kitchen of our old home. But now like the wall space in our new home, it just wouldn't fit. It's huge.
Yeah.
But it definitely was a thing where like if you walked in the house back in the day, it was like you were going to see that right away.
Right.
And so it wasn't like obviously commemorative. Like you wouldn't have known necessarily that it was a tribute to our dead son and like our relationship to him.
Yeah.
But it was a thing where sometimes people would be like, what's the deal with that thing? And then you would tell them, like they would ask sort of like sarcastically, like what's the deal with this thing that has a giant fish in it? And you'd be like, oh, well, that's like my son Fisher. And an intensely awkward 30 seconds would ensue.
Yeah.
They'd be like, no, I have a huge fish in my place too. I will. Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. Who doesn't have this?
I was wondering what kind of fish, bro. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, they should feel bad because I would never to anything in anyone's house be like, what is this? You're like, shut up.
I wanted you to tell us about the viewing. You said you said you wanted to talk about the viewing. So I want to hear about it. Tell me.
Yes. It was just such a crazy experience getting. So it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. I drove down, like I said, rented a car, drove down, screamed, cried to Arcade Fire all the way home, like the classic children's story. No, I'm just kidding. I get into Virginia, into Salem, and I'm like texting my friends who I think are going to be there. It's like this weird like social event, like, yo, are you going? Are you going? And it's like, it's nuts. So I drive, it's like this pretty little cul-de-sac neighborhood area, and struggle to find parking. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Because Chris was one of three brothers in a small town. All three of – Chris didn't play sports in high school, but Chris's brother, Will, was a baseball player. Chris's brother, Chad, played lacrosse and football. And Chad went to – they all went to the college right up the street, the same college I went to, and continued with sports and everything. There were a lot of people that knew the Fishers. And – So I struggle to find parking. I find it, and there's a line out the door. And it's just so bizarre waiting in line out on these people's front lawn. And there's like hometown dads that are like given shit to like the kids that, you know, just be like, hey, is that you? You getting any taller? Or like shit. Like, it was just like, it was just bizarre. And while people are fucking, you know, bawling and just like can't, it was just,
yeah,
it was nuts. Right. So then it took a while. I finally get inside and like, I saw like, they put a bunch of pictures of Chris and this like line forming. And I saw his guitar and I was just like, holy fuck. Like, there's his guitar. And I just lose it. Cause like seeing people's things after they've died and you're just like, that's not their, I mean, it's still theirs, but they're not here anymore to use this things. We're just like, it was, just, I didn't know that I was going to be faced with having to process that, you know? And I was just like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even seem like a thing that you would think about ever processing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that someone would, if someone told you, oh, and his guitar will be there.
Yeah.
I don't, for me, I'd be like, okay, well, who cares? And then you get there and you see it and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, totally.
It's like a ghost or whatever.
Yeah, totally. It was just like, oh, yeah, that fucking guitar. I remember seeing that guitar and being like, damn, I wish I had that, you know? Because I'm a jealous piece of shit. No, I'm just kidding. But you're just like kind of like you forget how you feel about these things while you know people, like a friend's car or something, or like the smell of it. Anyway, so we're walking through and I see all these people because, like I said, I went to high school there. I went to college, the same college that they went to. So I'm seeing people that I did not expect and frankly did not want to see at these places. Or at this viewing of my friend, right? And they're just like, yeah, like seriously, people commenting, like complimenting my comedy Instagram videos. And I'm just like, no, not right now. They're like, dude, that fucking one video is like fucking, bleh. I'm like, no, 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 we're not doing this right now. And this one guy, comes up to me and I'm like crying and I haven't seen him. This was like an old, old friend that I hadn't seen in forever. And he was just like, yeah, I know, man, I know. Dude, I listened to your EP. Like, dude, your voice has come a long way. Like, it's nothing I would listen to while I was driving, but I really liked the music. And I was like, what the fuck?
What?
I was like, so I have to now process this shit ass backhanded compliment while I'm in line for my friend's fucking, you know? I was like, this is the most batshit.
The dude is negging you in line while you're getting ready to go see your like dead friend's artifacts.
Artifacts. And I'm visibly crying. And it's like a line just to go see his dad, his mom, and his brothers and hug them. And I'm just like getting, you know, blasted with fucking that stuff. And it was just like such a bizarre thing. And then I saw his dad and then saw his mom and his mom. I hadn't seen his mom in a while. And now I have blonde hair and well, it's pink right now. I dyed it pink, but blonde hair and a mustache. And I saw his mom and his mom was just like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, oh, who are you? I don't recognize you. And I was just like, I'm Brooks. And she just, I mean, again, not to flex, but we both just started like bawling and we hugged like hard. Cause it was just like, yeah.
I like that you were like, not to flex, but she really cried a lot. That's not normally, people don't normally think of that as a flex.
Yeah. Yeah. That is me talking to myself probably.
the being in that line though.
Yeah.
That is such an illustration of how profoundly people do not want and do not know how to talk about really sad shit. Like they don't want to talk about it. They have no idea how to talk about it. So the only thing that they can do is be like, you know, you guys see the Orioles game? Crazy. I mean, the outfield is looking good. And you're like, we're all here because of this guy died.
Totally.
Did you guys know about that?
I saw like the cheerleading coach and she was there with her daughter and she like noticed a guy that we all went to high school with. And she was like, oh, is that Harrison? Oh, what is he doing? And, you know, she's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It's like, I think a way of like protecting ourselves from, first of all, if no one you love has died, then you don't have any idea really what it's like. Not through any fault of your own. You just can't know. Mm-hmm. And then when it happens, I think a lot of people are just like, I don't want to know it.
Yeah.
Like even though I know it on some level right now, I do not want this knowledge that I have.
Yeah. And like, it was an, like, it was awkward. It was like very weird, very awkward. All those things happened. But like, we all went to the same bar after, and the same bar that I saw Chris that couple months before. And we all kind of were like, I think Chris would have liked that. Cause like, Chris was a popular, dynamic dude. You know, he's an athlete. He was a musician. He was funny. So like a lot of different kinds of people really liked Chris and his family. And I don't think a lot of people, I mean, you know, I had my problems with the viewing too, but I think some people were like, that sucked. And it's like, I really don't think it was bad. I think it was really good. I think Chris really would have liked it. I think he would have had a good time if he was there, you know?
I mean, I think that's so important that he would have felt that way, but also that you feel that he would have felt that way. You know what I mean? Like that's,
yes,
that's the best case scenario, I think, for events like that.
Totally.
And I think like we need those. You need, I don't want to say everybody needs them, but to me, having like a ritual event that's like, okay, everything has to stop and we have to just acknowledge that this thing happened. We can't just keep going. You can't all just, you know, go back outside,
yes,
and go to Fuddruckers and act like Chris didn't die. So we're going to take a second.
Yeah.
We're all going to acknowledge that it is real and like how helpful that is to all the people who are there.
Totally. And just no mention of people's art and how you feel about it.
Yeah, exactly. No comments on my Instagram videos right now, please.
Yeah. Or my EP, asshole. Yeah. But yeah, and then the next day was when I met up with his brothers at Chris's house. And that was dark. That was wild. Cause you know, it's not like he took an effort to clean everything up and put it in boxes before he OD'd, you know?
Right.
It was just like, everything's still there as if he was at the store, you know?
Fuck.
And man. Fuck is right. Like, you know, when they're like, we're in his music room and he's like showing me all this stuff and it fucking smells like Chris in there. It like his brothers are moving their faces and like laughing like Chris, you know, and I'm just like, this is trippy. And man, this is, I don't know about this, Michael, but this is a little dark, but like there was like some blood on the floor from him falling back. And one of the things that I took from his music stash has like a little bit of Chris's blood on it. And his brother was like washing it off. I'm talking to one of his brothers, blah, 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 about shit. And his other brother is at the sink. And I'm like, what is he doing? And then it like clicks in my head like, oh, he's washing Chris's blood off of this thing so he can give it to me. It was fucking crazy. It was really crazy. And I'll have to let you know if I want you to include this or not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or if you even think it's appropriate. But like, yeah, that was, it was wild. And yeah, I have it right here. I'm looking at it right now. It's wild.
When you think about that, so he did, I'm assuming, like he cleaned it. The blood is no longer on the thing you're looking at.
No, it's still there a little bit. I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, what is that? What's the significance of that to you now? Like, how does that make you feel?
I mean, I'm just like that. I mean, that's what happened in all of it. I don't know how it got there really, or like what happened. But like part of me is just kind of like in a fucked up way. That's like cool. But it's also, I don't know. Like I said, it's pretty dark. I remember when it happened and they were giving it to me and they like warned me of that before they gave it to me. And I was just like, I think that's, honestly, I said, I think that's beautiful. And I think I feel a little like hippy dippy saying that or whatever, but it's like, I don't know. Something. Yeah.
Well, I think, but that's what's going to make it what it is. How you feel about it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing,
right.
There's nothing about that any more real than what you feel and it's yours. And they wanted you to have it.
Totally. Yeah. That was really cool and sad.
Do you think of Chris as being someplace now? Like, what are your beliefs in that area?
Yeah. So to plug my song, the chorus of my song is, we talked about songs and we talked about tattoos. Are you flying above like the birds on your hat do? Because this hat that I inherited from him has some birds on it. And then like that goes back to, this is Song Exploder, right?
yeah, absolutely.
And it goes, you know, goes back to like that cardinal thing I was saying and just like connecting lyrically with stuff. So, I did have that thought of just like, are you just like above and shit, you know, whether that's heaven or something or just like, but I don't think so. I think that his soul lives on in like the people that are still around and love him. Like that's what I think. I think that like he's still alive in some ways because I am. And his, for me, obviously, because of the connection we had while he was alive, I'll say.
That's beautiful, Brooks. This was A Good Cry with Brooks Allison. Thanks for listening, and I hope it helps.
flying above like the birds on your hat do. Are you flying above like the birds on your hat do? Are you flying above like the birds on your hat do? Are you flying above like the birds on your hat do?
Hi, friends. Michael Cruz Kane again. That was A Good Cry with Brooks Allison. Just a little bit of business. I hope you'll subscribe and rate and review this podcast if you haven't done that already. I also hope you'll come see my show this Friday night, March 18th at 9:30 at Caveat in New York City. There's a link to that in the description of this episode. And furthermore, I hope you will listen to Brooks Allison's music, which we are also linking to in the description of this episode. You're the best. Now and always, talk soon. Bye. A Good Cry is produced by Radio Point and HeadGum with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, Richard Corson, Daniel Powell, and Houston Snyder. Recorded, edited, and mixed by Bree Mattan.
That was a HeadGum podcast.